the set.
Sammy,
the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live and in color. Also available on Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6. You can always download us if you don't get us live at any time during the day.
You show can.
Okay.
Oh. Hot start.
This is the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, predominantly in the first hour, Leaf Edition, which will attempt.
Oh, man.
For the first hour. Then we'll go national.
Yeah.
But between 4 and 6, how many different times are we going to have you look at your phone to get a show a update?
Give us an update. You know, there hasn't been hockey or baseball talk on the station. Let's have it.
There's a million different people saying a million different things. There's people reporting things. There's fake insiders saying things.
I heard some things.
It's just right now, if you want clicks on baseball internet, there isn't many better times at this moment than to say something about Shohei.
We are in the mothership of Sportsnet. If you were to tweet, just talk to someone and the eyeball emoji or something.
Or how about like an eyeball emoji and the Japan flag?
Yeah.
I would get 1,000 retweets right now.
You know, the needle right now.
But it's apparently down to the Jays and the Los Angeles Dodgers.
So speaking,
Shohei apparently flew to Florida to go check out the player development complex. They're reporting on it. I don't know what to believe, Kipper. I'm having a hard time caring about the Leafs who don't play hockey. Like, it's Shohei Ohtani, and it seems like there's a real chance. So
speaking of the Rogers mothership here, I don't know whether we're like 9 or 10 floors above someone saying okay to $600 million.
Oh yeah, maybe more.
But if that does happen in the next 10 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, we're going to get booted out of here.
Oh, yeah, they're kicking us off the air for sure.
We're done. What? You know we're done.
National Blue Jays voice, Sam McKee is a good enough for you guys?
We may, like, take off for a week, maybe.
I mean, I would need to go somewhere to get tickets, like everyone else in Toronto, were that to be the case.
So that is the best case scenario, is that we get booted out of here in the next 15 minutes for an official announcement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The worst case scenario is news also breaks that he's going to L.A., and we have a grown man crying on our show.
And it also seems like the most likely outcome. Just because I'm afraid of being hurt, I don't want to be like...
I'm a very protectionist sports fan.
Yeah.
Mostly because of my history with sports and the teams
and the
that I...
cause.
Yeah. It's just, like, outside of the 2019 Raptors, I haven't had a whole lot to cheer about in my life. And I've been snarky about this, and I've been like, there's just no way. And today and last night are the first time that I truly let myself believe in this, and it's a dangerous game. It's a dangerous, dangerous game.
It's a metaphor for life. It's making you bare your vulnerable heart before they pierce it with a Dodgers tweet.
Yeah, it's just, I really want this now, and I was kind of, and I think it's, I'm going to be heartbroken, it's going to suck, but... You know.
Okay, can I just get your hopes up high for a little bit here, though, for
a
second?
Yes, please.
Where would this rank in
number one
Canadian storylines? To me, I don't care about the $600 million. It doesn't run toe-to-toe with Gretzky getting traded to L.A.
I think this is in that conversation. How could it not be? This is a top five most famous guy on earth. This isn't... Like, Edmonton traded him. They chose to get rid of him. This is a guy that's choosing to sign in Canada, that's choosing to come here to play for the Jays, which is something that would be crazy.
I get the international scope of Shohei compared to Wayne
Gretzky.
Imagine what
Twitter following goes, or the Blue Jays Twitter following or Instagram following goes from the second all of Japan follows.
Yes.
You know, like, this is the money. They would make that money back over the time, no problem.
It'll pale in comparison to that emotional element. Other than Sammy, maybe.
Well, it's interesting.
Of a Canadian sports story.
You know, we had the Raptors win a championship. Mm-hmm. There's the Jays runs in 15-16. Obviously, your Leafs years. You know, you got Nick Taylor drains one to win the Canadian Open, all that. And you have it up with those.
No question.
Yeah.
No question. I think it's on, like, the excitement that your fan base would feel is, like, on a championship level to sign Shohei Ohtani. Yeah. I don't think that... You're both looking at me like I'm crazy. I don't think it's crazy.
Yeah. Now...
you know, there's just no promise it even goes well, right? You know, like he can come here and
you don't buy the fact that if LA leaked a tiny bit out, that Shohei's gonna go, No, I'm going to Toronto now.
The Lou Lamoriello?
Loose lips over there. I'm going to Toronto.
No,
you don't really see that happening here, do you?
Listen, I've convinced myself of a lot of things over the last hour and a half that I don't really know what to believe or what to read into, but he was very clear in the early parts of this that leaks were not to be had. And then old Kenny Rosenthal last night, Mr. I thought he was supposed to be Johnny Tightlips, writing an article about how he was at the... Who's telling him that? It's just a really tense time for me.
I also, like, I personally have a tough time with the idea that someone would be have this hard of a time making a choice. Like, to me, it's like, okay, you either really value the money or you really value being in LA or whatever. Like, how do you not know?
Well, it's not like somebody can come up with an extra 20 to 40 million and that's going to be the difference here, right? You have to now...
Like, you're making so much.
Lifestyle.
Where do you want to be?
And I don't know. Is on one hand, if he goes to LA and or you know, a big market, is he one of many stars there? Does he worry about being too big of a star in Canada?
Sure. He'd be the guy. He has Canada.
There's nowhere he goes where he's not the biggest star, I don't think. Like, even with LeBron in LA, if he's playing for the Dodgers, he's right there with LeBron.
He's there.
Yeah,
With the Angels, no one cares.
Shohei Ohtani could walk into a lot of places and people would not know who he is.
I think...
Compared to LeBron James in North America?
Well, it's... LeBron's got 12 years on him. Of pushing...
For sure.
14 years of pushing a market.
And maybe Ohtani would get there for sure.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, he was in Space Jam. Everyone saw that.
So he's the second most famous guy in LA immediately when he signs to the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Once he... Does
you're right. Yeah. That's a pretty big place.
Yeah, it's huge. I know he has to knock old Anze Kopitar off the ledge there, but
by the statue of Dustin Brown in front of the Staples Center.
I think once he does a Subway commercial with Barnes from the Raptors, he goes to another level.
Yeah, can't you see Ohtani in the new Osmos commercial? It's coming for him.
All right. It's not a baseball show.
Oh, we got to talk about the Leafs now?
Yeah,
they practiced.
Can we just talk about, like,
what a thrill.
The worst schedule ever.
God.
We had that big break before they went to Sweden, mm-hmm. and now we've got another one. Okay, mm-hmm. What is up with this schedule? Do they not know we have a show to do?
The good thing is that I assume the back end of the season we're going to be heavily, heavily loaded. But yeah, they don't play till Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Skated today. We did get some audio.
Thursday they play Saturday, and then it goes Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday next week.
I like
so
that.
So back-to-back, Monday, both they play both New York teams, Rangers in the second half of back-to-back. Which
Aye, that's called a schedule loss.
We got a terrific show. We're going to have Luke Fox in a few minutes because we've run out of things to talk about with the Leafs, so we're going to invite Luke onto the show.
Yes. We have Sheldon on that schedule, too, Kipper.
But we also have Hall of Famer Adam Oates. In about 25 minutes, want to get his thoughts on a ton of stuff, including 3-on-3, which still a hot button topic, I think. Fans booing when teams retrieve.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Let them know.
I really like that.
You know what is happening? We can talk about it with Luke. I do have a complaint.
And Mike Rupp, NHL Network analyst, will join us on our national hour here on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. But let's go back to the goofy schedule, and let's get head coach Sheldon Keefe's thoughts on him on our first Kippers Clipper.
Different type of schedule we've had here for quite a while now, but you got to take advantage of it when you have it, right? In terms of, first of all, some rest and a chance to work on some things and build your game in practice. So, you know, we're making the most of it. It's on us to really continue to stay on the guys and make sure our habits don't slip. You know, there's a few instances out there today in the practice. You look like a team that hasn't played and is coming off a day off and all those kind of things. And that's sort of what you've got to combat is losing your game readiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I saw someone tweeting from their practice on Sunday after the Bruins game that was very upbeat. You know, a team feeling pretty good after a loss to the Bruins. They had a day off coming on Monday. a little bit of rest, a little bit of practice time, not the worst thing to happen to you at this point of the schedule. So even though it's good for the Leafs, it's inconvenient for us, but it is a good thing.
Very inconvenient.
Yeah. As someone producing the show.
Yeah, well, I mean, three good guests today. And so Samsonov's been super sick. Apparently he was like down and out. You know, he didn't start. He wasn't the backup on Saturday night.
Right.
And they're trying to get him ramped up for Thursday or whatever. But Keefe gave updates on Samsonov, Liljegren, and Klingberg. Would you like to hear those?
I would love that.
Okay, let's hear those.
Maybe twice.
Okay.
Yeah, Sammy's, he was feeling better today in order to get on the ice, but this illness has beat him up pretty good. So, yeah, wasn't going to work through the whole day, but the hope is that we can just kind of build him up a day at a time here now. Lilligren's progressing really well. No timeline at this point that I've been made aware of, other than just continue to kind of ramp him up a day at a time. And he's had no setbacks and is feeling good and strong every day. And I have nothing for you on Klingberg here yet at this point.
So they're having some long meetings, hey. Old Klinger. Aren't
I know.
They?
Is he okay?
The longer it goes, the more worried I am.
That he's going to play.
I haven't met with the lawyers yet.
Yeah, we haven't decided who's paying this medical guy, us or insurance.
Maybe Klingberg's down in Dunedin trying to get Ohtani to
Toronto. Tell him what a great city. The media's awesome. I'm having a great time in Toronto.
I would worry about Klingberg coming back on the ice and not being well-welcomed.
Yeah. Yeah, welcome back.
Because there's a lot of people, including our Sammy, that expect a new, fresh $4.1 million
but if you're
to come into the system.
If you're going to use his money, and maybe not one guy, no? Two $2 million guys, one $3 and one $1 million.
You got a lot of holes.
You got a lot of holes. Anyways, Luke's here.
Okay, let's welcome in Luke Fox, NHL writer for Sportsnet.ca and a good friend of the show, especially when, as I said earlier, we run out of things to talk about. So go, Luke. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
I love messing with you.
I know there's a lull in the schedule when Sammy texts me because you're running out of quality A-list.
Oh, no, no. So. You always bring us great stuff here on the show. So is there a thought that they could not come out of the gate great against Ottawa on Thursday night, or is this old hat from them from the downtime leading up to Sweden?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like Sheldon said, today's practice wasn't as sharp as he'd like, but let's be honest, he's a bit of a perfectionist, right? He sets a high bar. I don't think they should have any excuses. I mean, this is a team that could probably use the rest. An incredible 11 out of their 22 games have gone to overtime. Like, the odd day off, the odd practice day, I think should benefit the team and not be a hindrance. I'd say they have no excuses. The only, you know, kind of interesting thing is the fact that Ilya Samsonov tried to practice today. He actually had on his gear and was out on the ice for a few minutes. But then once the real practice got going, he bolted. And they said they got to work with him and build back his strength because this illness has given him a bit of a beating.
Jeez.
And you look back, I think it was November 24th since he last started. And part of that's just because Joseph Woll's been dialed in and taken the number one spot. But we all know that this league, you need two goalies going. And it's like, okay, if he doesn't start in Ottawa, it's going to be a long stretch here between games. And Sheldon said he's a little bit concerned the fact that it's not the game action. It's like he's not even getting much serious reps in practice at this point.
Yeah, and they sent Martin Jones back to the Marlies, did they not?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's they may be needing him again yet, it sounds like.
Can I stay on Samsonov for a second? Just in terms of now the patience that they're going to show with Samsonov, is there a scenario where if you look at the playoffs and – yeah, I know. I get it. He got hit hard and didn't come back. And now he had a horrible camp, and now we're around Christmas, and there's just no real sense on him gaining traction again. Can you see this thing playing out where they just go with Sammy right to the very end and keep your fingers crossed on Woll here? There's a sense that he's still a good goalie, Luke, but the reliability meter is really low on Samsonov.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%, Nick. Like, first it was the mental struggles, and then it was, you know, some shaky performances, and now it's the illness, which, you know, it's going around. You can't fault him, and you don't want him to rush back if he's feeling sick or be around the other players, even more importantly, if it's something contagious. This guy's a good goalie when he's on. And the other thing is, what are you going to do? Try and bury his salary or try and trade him when he has no trade value at this point? You know, but it is a question mark, because this guy was given the number one job from, you know, the first night, opening night. This was his chance to run with it, but he stumbled, and the belief in the organization is so strong on Wall that I think they've been happy to give the lion's share of the duties to the young guy. But you know, you step back and you look at Joseph Wall's track record, and he's never carried the load, especially at this level. Like, you still need a tandem. So I think it's important that they work with Samsonov at this stage, at least, and get him up and running.
Luke, the Leafs are built a very particular way, as you know well, top heavy, and they need the top to be good or it's just not going to work. We've seen that in playoffs. They've gotten cold. At times starting the season, Matthews and Marner didn't look quite great. They didn't quite work together. I want to talk about Matthews a little bit and just get your thoughts on the difference between his game that we saw on Saturday and for the previous seven games. You know, the year before, we're going, is this guy hurt? What's happening? Like, I can't see what it is that's making him less effective on a game to game basis, but then he comes out in Boston and he's just so overwhelming. You know, what have you seen his game so far this season, which frankly has been a little bit inconsistent?
Yeah, no, it's been inconsistent. That's a great word for it. His highs have been incredibly high. You think of the hat trick games, and his lows have been pretty low. Like, coming into that Boston game, he had one goal in his past nine games. And that morning, Sheldon Keefe did something that I can't recall him doing, at least not very often. And he publicly challenged him on what was a pretty softball question by the reporter. And he went in and said, it's not just the goals. His process needs to be better. He has to do the things that we ask of him to create chances. And it seems kind of easy from an outsider to say, hey, you're one of the best shooters in the world. You should have a shoot first mentality. But Keith felt the need to have a one-on-one chat with him and say, you know, we want you to shoot, because, yeah, you might not score on every shot, but what it does is it creates chaos. And we have guys that can gather rebounds, and it puts the defense on edge when you have a shoot-first mentality. Now, the fact that his game has been inconsistent, I don't think it's one thing. I think there's a couple things at play. One, his running mate, you know, Mitch Marner, had a stretch where he wasn't feeling it, and he admitted his confidence was low and he was in his head a little bit, wasn't relaxed out there. And we see the difference between good Marner and you know, not so good Marner. So I think part of it is that. And the other part of it is the left winger. I mean, I think Matthew Nyes has done an admirable job as a rookie, but you know, maybe they missed some of the chemistry or that forechecking power that they had in that spot, whether it was Michael Bunting or years back with Zach Hyman. And then I also think there's a little bit of Matthews that is kind of, you know, he would never say it, but he doesn't get up for a game against the Seattle Kraken the way he gets up for a game against the Boston Bruins. He knows the narrative around this team is nothing matters till the playoffs. I think when there's a big game, he gets fired up. So you add the fact that they had an interesting, compelling opponent to get up for. The coach called him out a little bit, and there was a bit of a wake-up call by removing Marner from him. And, you know, he's probably gets fed up and says, okay, you want me to attack? I'll show you what attacking Matthews looks like. And I think what frustrates the fan base is maybe we see that a little bit too infrequently for a lot of people's liking during the regular season.
We're talking to Luke Fox, Leaf and NHL writer for Sportsnet.ca. Luke, John Tavares approaching 1,000 points, kind of coincides with playing a little over, I think, 1,000 games, 1,051. I thought he was kind of attacked a little bit on social media the other night, and it was uncalled for, because I think he played a good portion of the last half of overtime against the Boston Bruins. But, you know, he comes kind of as advertised, right? In terms of what he's been able to deliver, and you know, he's never claimed to be something that he's not.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's the thing is, we probably don't talk about him enough, and especially in a pause light, because we take him for granted, because he's like a metronome, right? He's the same guy all the time in his interviews, in his practices, in his performances. Like, you know, we were talking about how Austin and Mitch sometimes have these crazy highs and you know, some quiet, noticeable lows. But Tavares has kind of been steady Eddie, and it really is phenomenal. Sheldon Keefe was talking to him a little bit about him today and his consistency. And it starts with his habits, his routine, and then it just translates into his game. It's just phenomenal the way that he's maintained his production. Like, his numbers this season as a Leaf aren't that far off from his first season as a Leaf. And that's really remarkable, because when he signed this deal, everyone was like, well, it's going to look horrible at the back end. And yeah, maybe he's not worth $11 million, but there's a lot of teams that would trade their second line center for John Tavares right now. I mean, he, for one, his faceoffs have actually improved. I think he might be at, or if he's not the top, he's very close to it. He's winning draws at like a 60% rate, still producing on the power play. He's just incredibly dependable. And it's kind of nice, you know, when these milestones come along, because it gives you reason to kind of open your eyes and wake up and appreciate what he's kind of just steadily done for so many years in his career. And it's funny, like, a couple guys tried to talk to him about it on the weekend, and he basically refuses to talk about it until he's there. He's like, well, you know, guys who have done that, that he positions it like that as opposed to myself. He doesn't want any attention until he's actually hits the number. And I think he's only 5 points off.
Yeah, that's crazy. He's at 61.8% on the faceoff circle this year. That's wild.
Yeah.
So, Luke, you are down at the rink and around the team every single day. You are the best question asker in all the scrums. We always appreciate, when we get a Fox question.
We really like it when you piss them off, Luke.
Yeah, you ask real questions. It's great. I want to know if you see any difference in Sheldon Keefe this year. He's got a contract extension. He's not under Kyle Dubas. It's tree living, extension, different team. Do you feel like you're getting a different version of him this year than you've seen in previous seasons?
I would say we are a little bit, a variation of him when he meets with us behind closed doors. Who knows? I don't know how much of that has to do with the GM change, or how much of it has to do with, I think there is a genuine concern on his part that this team might not be as good as previous incarnations.
Yeah.
And that worries him. You know, this guy, his work ethic is off the charts. I never question Sheldon Keefe's level of care or devotion. I think he's constantly studying tape, constantly looking at numbers, constantly trying to find ways to get the most out of his group. And I think in the early going here, and it's calmed today, certainly, I think he was really happy with the Boston effort. But in the early going, I think he was concerned about the blue line. Did he have enough horses back there? About the bottom six, I think there's still some lingering concerns there for sure. And when he feels like that, he has a horrible poker face, and he lets slip how he really feels, whether it's in his tone or sometimes in his words.
We're but glad often he does,
his,
by the way.
Or the length of his answers. You can tell a lot by the length of his answers how good of a mood he's in. He's a fascinating guy, but I totally respect him as a hockey mind. I do have questions whether he's enough of a motivator to get this team over the hump. Like, I think he's a great coach, but sometimes I question whether he's the guy.
So let me ask you then, now that you mentioned that, yesterday we briefly had a discussion and we talked about his comments before Austin Matthews' two goals Saturday night. And we debated whether he was actually calling out Austin a little bit or where it could fit, like on a scale of 1 to 5. So what did you make out of his, I don't know, did he motivate Austin on Saturday?
Yeah, he may have. I mean, that looks like a great move by him. And if it goes the other way, if Austin has a poor game, then we're singing a different tune, right? Like, it's all results dependent. But no, you're right. He did something out of character. I thought it was a pretty gentle call out. You know, he positioned it as Austin's a driver for our team, and we need him to be a driver if we want to win. And, you know, right now he needs to do more to be a driver is kind of the message he was getting out. He didn't say, like, he's been horrible. He needs to step it up. Like, relative to other markets, like, Kuznetsov's getting benched. You know, Rick Tocchet has no qualms about, you know, benching JT Miller. Like, compared to other markets, this is very gentle. But I did think there was a little poke there, and there was definitely a response.
Well, I haven't benched Sammy yet or JB on the show, but...
Because we both happily just sit here quietly.
Am I off? I just got benched. My mic was on mute.
That's
thanks.
Like not being ready for a line change.
Too many. Let's talk about that, shall we?
All right, Luke, really appreciate your time as always, man. Be
okay,
ready
anytime.
For tomorrow, too.
Yeah, I'm going to Ottawa, so
we got nothing. All right, we'll catch you on the 401.
Thanks, Luke.
Okay.
All right, Luke Fox, writer, sportsnet.ca, does a terrific job.
Yes. Did you want to talk about the too many men, or do you want to save that?
Let's break and get to OT.
Okay, we got OT. We got tomorrow.
And that's it. We got OT, and that's it.
All right. Thanks to Luke, and we're going to come back with Hall of Famer Adam Oates. Don't go away. Just warming up here on The Real Kipper and Bourne.
Teeing up the biggest games of the night, it's the Fan Pregame with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcast.
All right, let's welcome in former NHL great, Hall of Famer, Adam Oates, president of Oates Sports Group. Oatsy, how are you, pal? Thanks for coming. Listen, you are one busy guy, so we appreciate you making some time for us. So where are you coming from? Where'd you just go? Like, what's going on in your life?
You know what? I was just at the Hall of Fame for the Hall of Fame game, which was a lot of fun. Great to see the old guys and welcoming the new people, and then back in Florida now. And like you guys, I watch a lot of hockey every day. Today was a long day of video for sure.
And when it comes to you working with your some clients or guys that you talk to on a daily basis, where are you on the skill level in terms of what you see or what you haven't been able to see?
You know what? I would say the league goes through cycles. And you know, when you watch every day, you watch NHL.com, you watch the goals, you're looking for trends. You're looking for the same stuff that coaches are looking for, trying to find that little magic answer of something. And I do the same thing. I try and look at a particular goal, like what was the mistakes on that goal and what was the good plays on that particular goal. And then try and figure out a way to implement that into my video package for the guys or the drills we do in the off season. And you know what? I would say that generally the guys are all pretty highly skilled, right? And the nuances are tough. For example, just because I saw today, Pittsburgh's power play. We're talking four Hall of Famers right there. And they're struggling on their power play. They haven't scored in 11 games.
It's amazing.
And Mario's sitting up top. Like, that you would think, the common man would think that that's impossible, right? But there are certain details that have to happen to score a goal. Like, they're not always fluky goals, right? And obviously, they're going through a bit of a tough time right now. So, honestly, on a daily basis, I'm looking for anything I can to find to help a player.
JB, give us your theory.
I think Malkin is a detriment to that power play. He takes these one-timers from distance. He takes unscreened. With the goalie has time to get over. What do you see on that power play? What's going on?
Well, you don't know what they're told, number one. Number two, they brought in Erik Karlsson.
Yeah.
You don't know how Chris Letang felt about that. Maybe they brought him in because Letang's health was maybe a concern. I don't know all that stuff. You have Sid and Gino that are lefties. You got Karlsson and Letang that are righties. There has to be a chemistry formed there. Who gets the puck? You know, who's technically the shooter? Who's the passer? You know, you look at Tampa, for example, it goes through Kucherov, right? No matter what. So that's, they've come up with a plan and they're very good at executing that plan. I don't know, some teams don't always have that luxury. Some teams don't always have that sort of guys that are willing to be sort of like a shooter, right? They want to be the passer or vice versa. And we've all, you know, Kipper, you know that. You play with everybody and not everybody's adaptable. Like Alex Ovechkin could not be Nick Backstrom. Nick Backstrom could not be Ovechkin. So sometimes you need to figure out what the chemistry is.
So that brings me to my theory when I first heard about Erik Karlsson going to San Jose. And we just had this conversation, Otsi, the other day. I like alpha dogs in the room, but I also like them on the ice as well. And my first thought when I heard Karlsson was going to San Jose is like, who's the alpha dog on the blue line, Brent Burns or Karlsson here? Because last time I checked, that was Brent Burns' blue line in San Jose. And now Karlsson moves to Pittsburgh, and I asked the same question. Karlsson or Letang? Can you have both? How sure? You just watched it fail miserably in San Jose. Didn't Kyle Dubas learn anything off of that?
Well, and the funny thing, too, is if I'm Chris Letang, hey, wait a minute. I've been here for 15 years and won two cups with you guys, too. So, like, do I want to take a second fiddle or backseat to Erik Karlsson? I know he's a talented man, but am I not talented? And you know what? It's these are all the little subplots that happen at, you know, from junior to college to pro level. You cannot have a quarterback controversy. You can't. And we're all good guys, but at the end of the day, we all want to succeed, right? And right now they're having a tough time, for me, finding the right chemistry.
It's ironic because I think it's an old trope from the NFL that if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any quarterbacks. You know, it's like you're supposed to have a guy. And so I can see that complicating things in Pittsburgh. I want to give people a sense for the work you do, Otsi, in terms of, you said you watch a lot of video. Like, how has technology changed that? What is, you know, how are you able to get through all this video? And then do you make a package and send it to your clients? Or how does that work?
That's exactly what I do. I have a team of video guys. We have five guys. Okay. I train them what to look for. Good and bad.
Yeah.
And then they send me the stuff. And what I do, I go through it and I'm looking for little morsels of information. And one of the things that I think is good is, like, I played, I coached, I know what everybody wants. Yeah. We want some form of success on this particular play right now. And the drills I designed in the summer are based on achieving that. You know, like for example, I was thinking of one in case you guys asked was, like, okay, D, get a shot in. Get a shot through from the point. Okay, sounds easy. How?
Right.
Like, you're getting a pass from your partner or you're getting a pass from the corner, right? Well, that's two different ways you have to catch a pass. You have to know where that guy that's coming out to block it is. You have to shoot around him. That takes technique, right? And you're worried about velocity. What were you doing to prepare for that before you got the puck so you're in the right spot? So, you know, like for one simple shot from the point, there's a lot of little skills that have to go into executing that, right? And we all see on a night-to-night basis, guys get the puck, they think about shooting, they throw it back down. Drives the forwards crazy. I just won a battle and gave you the puck and you're not shooting it. It's like so why did I pass to you? And these are all, like, but there's a lot of little skills that go into that, like everything we do. And honestly, we go about just trying to fix all of it. And, you know, the guys I see in the summer, they come every so often, and like it's usually like a 3-day window, and we try and incorporate, say, 8 skills into one session type thing. You know, so that would be 24 subjects in 3 days.
Right.
We're talking to Adam Oates, former NHLer and president of Oates Sports Group. We're talking skill. The Toronto Maple Leafs, we know, have some of the best firepower in the world right now, Oatesy. And yet sometimes you watch that power play and you don't get the big goal when you need it most. It's failed them, unfortunately, for Leaf fans around playoff time. But is there a thought that maybe sometimes it can be too predictable as well when you got one main shooter like Austin Matthews and a guy like Morgan Rielly, most often than not, who isn't a big-time shooter?
So if you go back to Tampa, like we talked about, it goes through Cooch, right? So I would say that he is really, really good at making his reads, whether it's passing to Braden Point in the slot, seeing a seam to Stamkos, or back to Victor Hedman. And you think about it, Victor Hedman is not a one-timer. If he was a one-timer, they'd be even better. but still their power play is lethal. Mm-hmm. So I still think it comes down to who's the quarterback and make the reads. And what are the reads based on what the penalty killing is doing? For example, Montreal scored a power play goal last night from Cole Caulfield to Suzuki to Monahan. Great goal. So whoever they play next, that penalty killing coach is going to see that. So he's going to probably talk about that in their meeting. So in that game, the next game, Cole Caulfield and Suzuki have an answer for that. And I would say that the best power plays have those answers. They're ready for that.
That's probably an under-discussed topic is just like, you know, what happened last game and how are teams going to adapt before the other team shuts them down? That's a big part of coaching and figuring those sort of things out. So, you know, you look at this Toronto Maple Leafs team. We talked about the skill at the top end of it, their power play, what they can do. What do you think a fourth line should look like in terms of skill? Are you okay in today's day and age with a Ryan Reeves? Should it be, do you need to have this sort of handsy players all the way through your lineup?
You know, my answer is yes to everything. Where, like, do I like Ryan Reeves? Yeah.
Yeah.
What he brings? Yeah. Right? Now, do I want him to make one more pass once in a while? Yeah. Right?
Sure.
So why not? Right? Like, so if you have a big man who's physical, who can protect guys, it's very valuable. Very valuable. Obviously, in the playoffs, when he gets a little heated, it's even more valuable. But I also think every guy needs to work on his game and get a little better, because at the end of the day, you don't want to be replaced.
Yeah.
Right? And we need, you know, like if you don't get a goal or an assist for 25 games, I can't keep playing you. Right? Because sooner or later, something happens. Right? But in terms of what do you want? I mean, what if you're a fourth liner and you're not Ryan Reeves? What are you? Well, now you're an energy guy. So you're a fast energy guy. Okay, dog on a bone. Okay, so that's what you are. Then you got to be a dog on the bone, on the forecheck. You got to stop the puck. And I have guys like this. And one of the things I tell them is you can't fall down.
Really?
You're not Tom Wilson. You're not Ryan Reeves. You are an energy guy. So you're going to put pressure on that D on the forecheck. Okay, so you got to stop the puck. And yeah, your coaches want you to be a little physical. But what you can't do is fall down. So you got to go as hard as you can without falling. You fall down, you can't make a pass or shoot a puck. And sooner or later, they won't like that. So you're not a tough guy, but you're on the fourth line. So you have to figure out a way to build your leash, right? You need some form of success that the coach likes you and keeps playing you. And obviously, you're trying to get to the third line.
That's Gregor.
OT, sometimes we hear that catchphrase, prone to mistakes. Zadorov. No question, a lot of teams interested in a big guy that can move around, and he does it fairly well at 15 minutes. But who isn't really prone to mistakes, and how can you teach when you go individually with someone to tone down those mistakes? Can you, or is it just unrealistic and say the majority of us are prone to mistakes? That's what the game's all about.
You know what, honestly? Do I think you can fix that? Yes, I do, for sure. The guys, and that's why generally I wait for guys to call me. I don't call them because I want them interested in listening. So the first thing I'll tell you, which I know you know, Kipper, is your stick. Hey, man, maybe you need to change your curve. If you're whiffing the puck, why? If you're the guy that's whiffing the puck, don't you know you whiff the puck? Well, then why? So let's work on your curve so you don't whiff the puck. Right? You got to get the puck out. You're a penalty killer. You got to clear it. You don't get two chances. You get one chance. You get two chances and they score, you get replaced. So, you know, it's called pro. You're a pro. So a guy like Zadorov, you're right. He moves pretty good. Obviously a big man, right? So they want to put him on the ice. If he doesn't have enough success, sooner or later, they won't put him on the ice.
Yeah, simple as that with some of those guys. It's a tough role to find, you know. So, you know, we're always keeping it on the Leafs here a little bit. And one guy this season who struggled to put up numbers he has early in his career, Max Domi, scored his first goal of the season the other day. He's a third line guy that, you know, is a skill guy. And so trying to find, you know, sort of that niche you're talking about and fitting in, what is it you want to see from a guy like Max Domi that he can bring, who is a talented player, but isn't necessarily a top six guy on this team?
Yeah. So first of all, that makes it very difficult because if you consider yourself a top six guy and you're not, you're fighting your anxiety to begin with, right? And obviously you come to Toronto where dad played. That makes it hard, right? You got to get over that tough market. You're not on the first PP, which gets the lion's share of the ice time. So it's hard. But then you have to look at your own game and what are you doing well? What are you not doing well? And you try and make one more play. You know, can you make one more play? Can you win one more battle? Can you pass a puck a little bit better? Like at the day, you have to look at your body of work and what can you do to improve it so that your coach plays you.
Oh, to a sore spot around this part of town in Toronto is too many men on the ice. And it's something that's plagued, I think, Sheldon and his teams the last few years. Is that something you would address with some of your players that you work with, or is that strictly a coach and his team? Like, are there some things that you can share that can help avoid someone getting caught in that net?
Well, you're going to laugh. When I coached Washington, we got too many men a few times. And I called Ovi and Backy in, and I said, do I really have to have a meeting about this? And the answer was, yeah. Because you're going to laugh, but some guys don't jump over the boards correctly.
Oh, like, yeah. I don't doubt it for a second.
Like,
where's
like,
your
so
stick?
Let's say I'm taking you. Okay, I got Kipper. Here comes Kipper. And I'm a guy that doesn't, like, just jump over it while still looking. So I take my eyes off you to look. And you change your mind. Whose fault is that?
Yeah.
It's the guy going on the ice.
Yeah, that's right. The guy that took his eyes off of him.
Yes, it's him all the time. So I had to have a meeting, honest to God, I swear to God, about how to jump over the boards in the NHL.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Some guys, it is fascinating. Like people, like it, you know, the one thing I always joke about with the guys is some of the stuff that we work on, if people actually watched us, they'd laugh. So like I first drill every session, poke checking. You watch goals in our league and you watch how many guys miss a poke check. It'll make you sick.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Like I do that.
Guys overextending, OT? Just going too committed?
Or whiffing. Missing. Missing it.
Wow.
So what I do, first drill, I scatter pucks in the neutral zone. And I say, you got to alternate, forehand, backhand. Poke check them. You won't believe how many guys miss. It's unbelievable how many goals are missed.
Yeah.
Because somebody didn't stab a puck or somebody stabbed it fantastic and got something good out of it. Mm-hmm.
So that kind of goes to like first touches for D-men on retrievals, right? Like Justin Hall took a hard time here in Toronto. He used to get pasted all the time, but he used to poke it somewhere useful. I mean, that's a valued skill, isn't it? It's like soccer. They always talk about first touch. It doesn't, not as discussed in hockey.
Like a defenseman going back for the puck is the hardest play in hockey. By a mile.
Yeah, agreed.
You're being chased. The puck could be bouncing. It might be against the boards. It might not. You got to have an angle. Is the goalie in your way? Are you going to reverse it? Are you going to strong side it? And you have to collect that puck. And you know what? That's a very hard skill, collecting the puck.
Taking a hit to make a play is hard these days.
Yeah.
I don't even think some guys at the NHL really know or understand how to do that or what it means over the course of a game.
We work on battling, and I would say two reasons, Kipper. Number one, nowadays kids play hockey for 8 years without contact.
It's a long time.
That's 8 years of learning habits, right?
Yeah.
And you and I played in a more violent time. We did.
Thank God.
So we got slashed. We got slashed. We got cross-checked. So we learned how to play close to guys. I love seeing guys close to guys. Unfortunately, you gotta get bumped, boys. You gotta battle that D net front. You gotta learn how. You have to.
So one question for me, my last one here on these skills, and I think it's relating to poke checking a little bit, but I think part of the problem with Matthews and Marner this season, they didn't have a lot of success in the early part of the season together. I shouldn't say the early part, but for a run of games, they don't really have a forechecker like they did when Hyman was there or even when Bunting was there. How does F1 stop the breakout? How do you be the first guy in? How do you stop that other team from executing their breakout as the first guy in?
You know what? It's a sore subject with me as well, because I realize some guys are regarded as physical. So if you get a hit, but that D plays the puck,
useless.
Hey, man, you're going to be back checking. Now, I also understand that if it's early in the game, we're trying to set the tone. So maybe in the third period, that D, because you've been hitting him, he won't be playing. The puck is good. I get that too. But the point is, if you're F1, can you do a combination of stopping the puck and bumping the guy? And obviously now the rules where you can't ram a guy from behind, but it makes even more sense why you got to try and stop the puck. If you can stop the other team and stop their speed, we can get all five guys in the zone. You get all five guys in the zone, good things can happen.
One more for me, and it goes right into the, again, maximizing your skill potential when you're on the ice, and it's a pet peeve of mine, is length of shifts. Do you have these conversations with your guys?
100%.
And what do you share with them to maximize their potential?
It depends on which guy and what his leash is. And how the game's going along, and like even to the point where I don't think you're working hard enough tonight. That's why you can stay on too long. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm very honest with the guy. Where like if you're not working hard enough, therefore you can stay on longer than your line mates. You put the coach in a tough spot. You know, you're not following up fast enough. That takes more effort. One of the hardest things for me when I played was, especially as I got older. If I'm F1 in the forecheck, but I see that D's got the puck, I don't want to waste the energy.
Yeah.
Right? You have to. You got to put pressure on that guy. It's your turn.
Yeah.
You got to burn the energy, even though you think he's going to pass it by you. That's your job. You know, so do I have those talks? All the time, Kipper, actually.
Yeah, yeah. OT, fascinating stuff, man. Always learn something new with you. Thanks for doing this.
Guys, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Oates. Appreciate
it. Adam Oates, former NHLer, NHL legend, great Hall of Famer, and president of Oates Sports Group. He does a terrific job working with individuals,
yeah,
maximizing their performance.
I love that. You know, I love the idea that you get the best players on earth into a league, and then you have someone watch them play and go, you can't poke check a puck? You know, because it's real, right? When you watch a lot of video and you go, God, I've watched 10 forechecks in a row, and you keep running into the guy, but they break it out every time. Where's your stick?
Yeah.
You know, I will say Ryan Reeves is the guy that often carrying his stick like a flag into battle on the skate in. It's like down on the ice, stick on puck, lead with that.
Love this story about having an NHL practice on how to get on the ice.
Yeah.
During play.
Remember having a coach, or a skills coach, talking about sitting on the bench with your blade up when it's your team. So when you're over the boards, you're immediately blade down instead of having to like grab the butt end and pull it like this like quarter second different swing. You know, these guys think about these little details. And
so you're sitting there with your stick with blade the blade up. So that when as soon as you jump over it,
now you got to slide it.
Yeah,
it's good.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a quarter second on you jump on the ice, you're able to play the puck.
I'm not sure it's going to make a difference at old Canlan, but that's interesting.
The sags can need a little help sometimes.
Are you guys changing in the door, out the door?
No, yeah.
Or are you going?
Yeah, no, sometimes
you,
it's
shifting to the middle of the bench, and the guy's coming on, jump over, while the guy off the ice or off the ice comes through the gate.
Yeah.
Lots of texts on the text line about that interview. People love the OT.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a lot of great insights.
Oh, I've done many nights with him on Hockey Night in Canada, and sometimes I'm just like the audience right beside him.
I know.
Going, tell me more.
Sometimes in this job, find yourself when you're talking to someone interesting, being like listening to him, being like, oh, I'm the guy who has to ask the next question. Just like wrapped.
Yeah.
Okay. Our thanks to Adam Oates in that first hour. Shohei update. Sammy, is he coming to the Jays?
Nothing yet, buddy.
Nothing yet. Okay, we still got an hour to go here on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We go national next. Great topics of discussion, including the Arizona Coyotes.
We have
hottest
to?
Team. Yes, we do.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Coyotes hottest talk. Team
Stay
in
tuned.
The National Hockey League. Tampa Bay.
Hey, we lit a fire, boys.
Oh, we had them dead and buried.
Yeah, we lit
and
a fire.
And now they're back to life with a big shutout win. Vasilevsky. And an update on the Ottawa Senators and Thomas Chabot.
Okay, let's have it.
You're going to have to wait for that one. That and more. Don't go away. Real Kipper and Bourne.